Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Western United Methodist Church. I'm so grateful to see all of you this morning. We have a few announcements. We'll start with the worship service that is tonight. We have a Taze prayer and healing service tonight, where you'll have a time for contemplative prayer and singing, an opportunity to be prayed over. It's a beautiful service. It's tonight at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Also, if you are looking for additional ways to worship with us, we will be launching a Wednesday night worship opportunity called Encounter in the coming future. So that's a little teaser. More information is coming. If you are a child or you have children, signups for children's choir begin today. Go to the website. You can sign up for that 6:15 Wednesday night children's choir opportunity. It's a lot of fun. And if you are a youth or you have youth, you can also sign up for youth choir and bells. That will be on Sunday night before, Emily's excited. That will be on Sunday night before small groups. Also, we are starting an acolyte ministry. You've seen some acolytes come and light the candles. It is for kids entering third grade and older. So they will be training in 2 weeks' time. Contact Maggie Jarrell, and you can be an acolyte. Right after this service, you have an opportunity to meet with other folks involved in the congregation, an intergenerational gathering of conversation, simple prompts over coffee and donuts. It's an opportunity to connect with those that are worshiping around you, and that will be downstairs in McWhirter Hall. Not just this Sunday, but next Sunday as well. The following Sunday will be our summer town hall. Sunday, July 31st, between the two worship services, so around 9:45, we will have a summer town hall to look ahead to our future and to talk about the God-sized dreams that are going on in this congregation. Looking forward to seeing you at those events. This morning, we encounter two strong women leaders in the church. May we learn more about what it means to be a disciple from both of them. We gather today to praise God. We gather today to praise God for God's many gifts. We gather today to build community.
Let us love one another as God has loved us.
God does love us unconditionally. Let us call to mind the times in our lives where we have turned away from God's love. And remember that despite our failings, God's love never fails. God of peace and justice, we confess the many ways we fall short of your love for us. We turn away from those in need. We ignore those we marginalize. We keep busy to protect ourselves from our obligations to others. We inflict hurt without realizing the harm we have caused. Open our hearts to receive your grace. Open our eyes to see your presence in every person and in all your creation. Give us the courage to be the loving light of Christ to all we meet. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may do that here in the sanctuary as you feel comfortable, and if you're online, you can exchange in the chat or send a text message or whatever feels most comfortable or with those around you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson is from the Gospel, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Are a child or childlike, and you'd like to come down for a little children's sermon, we'd love to see your faces. Paul's thinking about coming down. I see you.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Yeah, perfect spot. Well, when it was around Christmas time and I was growing up, my mom would buy me a canister of popcorn. It was actually not just for me, it was for my brother and I to share. It was like this big. You can still buy them today, but they were really popular when I was growing up. And there were three flavors inside. You could get butter, caramel, or cheddar popcorn. Now, I liked the caramel kind. That was definitely the best kind. And my brother liked the cheddar kind, which worked out perfectly for us because he ate the cheddar and I ate the caramel. But my brother and I can be kind of competitive at times, so we would say, ooh, I'd say, well, the caramel's much better. And he'd say, well, no, the cheddar is much better. Nobody really ate the butter kind. But anyway, we would eat those. And then later, I grew up and I learned that there are some people around the Chicago area that put cheddar and caramel popcorn together and they eat them. So you have this sort of cheddary, sweet flavor, and you eat them both together, and it's really quite tasty. This morning, we have a story of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Martha is known for being a doer. She likes to serve others by cooking dinner and cleaning and welcoming people into her home. She is known as the sort of servant doer. And we have Mary. And Mary loves to pray and be with Jesus and love him with her whole heart and her mind. And sometimes we say one is better than the other, or one is better, like I did with the popcorn, the caramel, and my brother liked the cheddar, that one's better than the other. But really, being a disciple is actually about both, putting them together, loving God like Mary with your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself like Martha. So a true disciple does both. It doesn't have to be a competition. We can do both. Let us pray together and invite God into our lives to help us do both of those things. Gracious God, thank you for each person present here. We're grateful for each of their lives and how they are both servants and connected to your love. Help us to live our lives connected to your presence so that our service and our times of quiet can be centered in you. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to the small chapel for Children's Church.
What?
Yeah.
My mom and dad are...
Perfect. Oh, yeah. I love your mom and dad, too. It's always great to have extra helpers.
Last week, Carol began her sermon talking about the Good Samaritan with a metaphor of how she thinks that the Good Samaritan scripture passage can sometimes be like laying back in a mattress. But on a closer read, it's more like one of those 1970s pull-out couches that has that metal bar in your back and kind of is difficult to get comfortable. If I was going to continue her metaphor for the way that I feel about this story this morning, it would be more like a pillow fight. And not one of those cute ones where people are dancing on the bed. There is a broken lamp in the corner and somebody has a black eye. Like, it is wrestling. I wrestle with this story. Part of that you can see in my sermon title. At the end of the story, I'm like, yeah, but who's making supper? That might be putting myself on blast a little bit because I have a lot of Martha doing energy in me. But that brings me to my next rub. If you're a woman and you grew up in the faith tradition, the Christian faith tradition, you likely at some retreat, some Bible study, some book study, somebody's asked you, are you a Mary or a Martha? And my problem here is not with the paradigms that we set up for these women. Martha is the doer, the action-oriented faith. Mary is the contemplative, beautiful spirit. My problem is with the or. It's not one or the other. You see, this scripture passage, these five verses, it's a really short story, actually, is shoved between the Good Samaritan, which is what Carol preached on last week, where we explore the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's this amazing story of someone who loves their neighbor as themselves. And next week, the scripture passage right after this, we're going to learn all about the Lord's Prayer. Probably the best way that we know to connect with our heart and our mind and our soul with God is through prayer. It's through this prayer we pray every week. I don't think that the author of Luke is trying to make us choose between one or the other. He situates the story right here so that we can decide how we are going to live out our faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the story, we have Mary and Martha doing their best, living their best lives. Martha has welcomed Jesus. We know that to welcome a disciple, to welcome a stranger, and especially to welcome Jesus, is winning. It is being a true disciple. We also know that Jesus doesn't usually travel alone. So probably in welcoming Jesus, you're welcoming his entire entourage. And she says, "Welcome to my home." And she starts getting busy and working. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the New Testament, when you sit at the feet of someone, you're honoring them. You're listening. Your full presence is toward what they have to say. And that's what Mary is doing here. Both doing what it means to be a disciple. And then we discover that Martha is distracted. And I think she's not only a little bit distracted, but she also might be a little bit resentful and a little bit overwhelmed. She's feeling some strong emotions here. And we know this because the next verse says that she reaches out to Jesus slightly passive aggressively, right? She's like, "Lord, do you not see all that I'm doing here? And my sister is doing nothing? Ask her to help me." Martha kind of puts Jesus on the spot here. And we all know that in the New Testament, when you put Jesus on the spot, you're going to get an answer. And it might not always be as clear as you'd like it for it to be. And so Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." And I read this more as so caring and endearing. It's like you're writing to your best friend, "My dearest Emily," like, "My dearest Jamie, I, Martha, Martha." It's not like, "Martha, Martha," you know, it's, "Martha, Martha." He's caring for her in this response. And he says, "You're distracted by many things. Only one thing is needed." Clear as mud, right? Like, only one thing. But what is that one thing? And so as I was wrestling with this text this week, I got excited about all the different ways we might interpret this scripture passage, "Only one thing is needed." So, as a Christian progressive pastor, I have the opportunity to have many interpretations of scripture, and I get to look at them and say, which one is best for which moment in my life? And how might I be more faithful to the scriptures and to Christ through the different interpretations that I might encounter? So I'll start with the most literal one that I came up with, which I'm usually not as big of a fan of, but I kind of like this one. Martha's in the kitchen, and she is cooking the ham and the turkey and the salad and the potato salad and that salad that's made of Jell-O and the salad that has the fruit in it and the macaroni and cheese and the bread and the pie and the you know, she's got the entire feast in front of her. And Jesus looks at her and is like, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things. Only one thing is needed. Keep it simple. You know that I love macaroni and cheese the most." only one thing. Our lives don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be so complex with all the things. Keep it simple. Another interpretation might be, and this one I came up with because Carol came into my office because she knew how much I was wrestling. She was like, "How's it going?" And I said, "I wish that I was preaching to my students the first couple weeks of classes. Because I think this passage actually has a really beautiful message for them." Okay, imagine yourself. You're off to college, maybe for the first time, or maybe, you know, coming up in a month. And you have all of the syllabuses of all the things you're supposed to learn. You have to continue to encounter a global pandemic to keep yourself healthy. You have a new roommate that you may or may not get along with. You have to learn to feed yourself. You have to learn to wash your clothes. I mean, the distractions are endless. And I feel like for the entire month of September, I'm sitting down with students saying, "I know it's so overwhelming. It is very overwhelming, and it's so normal to be overwhelmed and distracted. Let's just choose the next one thing. The next one thing in our lives. Take it one step at a time, and I promise this transition will get a little bit easier." Maybe what Jesus is saying is, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted. Just do the next task, and it'll be okay." The last two interpretations I want to share are basically the same interpretation, and probably the most obvious and the ones that you've heard before. "Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things. Only one thing is needed: the presence of God, practicing the presence of Jesus Christ." And in this third interpretation, because the story doesn't have an ending, I think Martha might take a deep breath and say, "Wow, I'm feeling alone in this work that I'm doing. But I know that through this work, I can practice the presence of God." In the 1600s, like kind of in the middle there, a man named Brother Lawrence wrote a little tiny book. I have it in my office because I love it. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. And you might think as a monk, he's talking about the practices of the daily hours and the prayer and the meditation. But in this, he talks most about how he feels the palpable presence of God when he's washing dishes, when he's making a meal for his brothers. He's centered on that love of God, and that meal, those dishes, are a way that he can share that love with others. And he's overwhelmed with the presence of God and the love that he has to share. Maybe Jesus is saying, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things. Only one thing is needed for you to show up as your full self in your vocation and to be centered on the presence of God." And so in this ending, Martha goes back to her tasks, and she finds that presence in her tasks. The last interpretation would be, when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things, only one thing is needed," he's not criticizing her and saying, "Only one thing is needed, come and sit in my presence, I'm the big deal." That's not Jesus. That's not who we know. Jesus isn't a narcissist. Jesus is offering her a glass of cold water on the hottest, most humid summer day. He's saying, "Martha, take a breath, breathe in my presence, and rest." He's saying, "Martha, your worth, your value, who you are, is not wrapped up into your productivity and all the things that you're doing every day. You are a child of God. You can rest in my presence." He's saying, "You know what, Martha? There is a savior of the universe, and it's not you. You can have freedom in that. I am the Savior, and I can give you rest. Your burden is great, but my burden and yoke is light. Come and be in my presence." And yes, there's still a lot to do. Supper is still going to be made. But that becomes the periphery when we are able to sit at the center of Jesus and allow for that message of abundance. Not the scarcity that is, I don't have enough time and energy and money and resources to fix all of this stuff. It is saying, in Christ, all have enough and you are enough. So take a deep breath and breathe in my presence and sit with me. Sit with us. See, this scripture passage is wedged between the parable of the Good Samaritan and the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And the end is unwritten. We are invited to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to write the ending of this parable with our very lives. May we accept that invitation. Amen.
And now, my friends, only one thing is needed for us to rise in body or spirit and claim our faith together using the words of our affirmation of faith found on page 883 in our United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God, and we are called to be the church and to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share prayer concerns for our pastoral team to pray for throughout the week, you may submit those in several ways. One is through our website, and that's a great way for people that are worshiping online. You can follow the link under Contact Us on our website, and that will take you to a place to leave prayer concerns. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, you may also find a gray card that's located in the pew racks in front of you, and you may write your prayer concern there and then place it in the offering plates as they go through the pews in just a little bit. This morning, we lift up our deepest prayers to the family of the Myers. We lift up Molly and Kirk and Callie and Charlotte Meyer, who are mourning the death of Molly's mother, Kim McAllister, who passed away July 10th in High Point, North Carolina. Services were held there on July 14th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of patient presence, there are so many things in this life that keep our attention turned away from you. There are so many ways that we believe we have to act or things we have to do to prepare ourselves to receive you. If we are honest, we often believe that we are the ones that make room for you. But today, we pray that you would remind us that you are already with us. You have arrived among us, and you seek to be our friend, our teacher, and our guide. Help us shape our doing and our being so that our lives always direct us back to the better part, to the reality of your love for us and of your sustaining presence. Today, as we come to you in prayer, we welcome you to our house, this beautiful house of worship, where we return each week to meet you face to face. We pray for each and every person gathered here. We pray for one another. We celebrate one another's joys and accomplishments, and we mourn one another's losses and disappointments. We hold one another in care and compassion so that all are welcome here in this house as we gather around your feet. As we feel your presence fill this space and fill our hearts with grace, we lift up our personal prayers and petitions to you in a time of silent prayer. And now, Lord Jesus, like Mary and Martha, we give thanks for your visit among us, and we lift our voices together as we pray as you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we simply ask that you give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. Now let us all offer our gifts and our tithes and our offerings and our hearts to the God who loves us unconditionally.
As we invite our youth forward, let's go this side. You're already here. As we invite our youth forward, those who stand before you today are ready to experience and share God's love through Adventure Serve in Lexington, Kentucky. Now, we as a congregation have the opportunity to send them forth in mission and service and to pray for them, as well as the two adults that travel with them to help love them, listen, and guide them on their service and journey. We rejoice that you have said yes to share your time and mission with the people of Lexington, and we know that you'll be open to them as well as they share their wisdom and faith with you. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work in the world and to live out that greatest commandment, to serve others and to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And so, will you carry forward the mission of the Spirit of Christ in cooperation with your fellow team members and your leaders with the blessing from this local church to respect those ministries and hosts that you will serve? If you will, say, I will.
I will.
Wonderful. If you'll kneel, we'll pray for you and your journey. Congregation, if you want to, you can extend a handout as well as we pray for those who are making this amazing journey. Ever-present God, send therefore your blessing on these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Lexington. Surround them as they travel. Whether they get tired, blisters, or overwhelmed, or even if they can't wait to see what's new each morning, help them to know that you are with them. Give each team member the patience and kindness that comes from you. Strengthen this team with the energy and endurance. Help them to embrace this opportunity to grow together as a group. Give them time to listen for you and time to share their lives with others. Help them to remember that they are serving as your children of all ages. Help them to remember that the world you love includes people in gas stations, restaurants, individuals that they will help, and everyone they encounter. We ask all these things in your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you guys so much for your service.
Thank you.
And so now go to your tasks, no matter how mundane, and find the presence of God, that outpouring love, and go and rest, breathing in the presence of God, finding ways to connect to your heart, to the center of Christ. Go and serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Amen.